He's been saved for 12 years. He's been married. He's married. He has 5 children. But not just that, he's our multi-regional gang third wave leader. But also, he's part of our Victory Home International team. Let's give Pastor Felipe Aguilar a warm welcome this morning. Come on, can you clap your hands for Jesus? Come on, Great Lakes Region, can you clap your hands for Jesus? Come on, are you glad you made it to the prayer summit here this morning? Come on, can you clap your hands for Jesus? Come on, let them know you're grateful. Let them know you love them. Let them know that you're ready for what God has in store for you in this year of 2023. Come on, can you shout for Jesus? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. My God. You know, I was telling Pastor Charlie last night, I was like, man, I think we got to do this like 2-3 times a year, because this atmosphere in this room is powerful. You know, I was ready to go back home and just to continue just to lock in prayer, because the results that we want to see in this new year is going to be through prayer. You know, and I'm so grateful to be able to be here behind this pulpit. I want to thank, you know, Pastor Nick and Sister Myra for this beautiful opportunity. Pastor Charlie, you know, thank you so much for this opportunity to be behind this pulpit. I don't take it lightly at all. You know, I'm so grateful. And I was just messed up, you know, in the streets of Chicago. And God pulled me out of that mess, and he brought me into the Victory Homes. And God began to do a work in my life. And to be behind this pulpit, man, I know that it's God. It's all God. You know, I'm grateful for this opportunity, man. When you turn your Bibles to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. You also want to thank all the pastors from the Great Lakes region. So privileged to be part of great team here in the Great Lakes region. And I know that God has something powerful. I think, you know, but really believe, like Pastor Ray was saying, this coming year is going to be our year. This year is going to be our year. You know, and what a powerful way to start, man. We come to the prayer summit. You know, Derek Prince said this, revival belongs to the intercessor. You know, we look at the pioneers of our ministry, and they build this ministry with prayer. They pioneered this ministry in prayer, and today there is a third wave movement. There is a third wave generation in our ministry that we're going to continue to build this ministry through prayer. Prayer always has been the foundation of our ministry. You know, and in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, the Word of God says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. And when he left down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on another, and one on one side, and the other one on the other side. And his hands were steady into the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it as the hearing of Joshua, that I may utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it his name, the Lord is my banner, For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek for generation to generation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I come before your presence this morning, God, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in our prayer summit. Father, I know that our churches, God, we're not going to go back to our cities the same. Father, we're going to put back prayer, God. I know that we have busy agendas, but this prayer summit is going to help us to put you in the center of everything that we do. Father, we thank you, God, for the leadership of this ministry. Thank you for the leadership of our region that are able, Master, to equip and to teach us and to value prayer. Father, have your way here this morning. In the name of Jesus, God, we prayed. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments. If you want to put a title to this message, we're going to call it, Don't Let Your Hands Get Tired. And I want to talk to you on the subject, prevailing through prayer. You know, also have my wife, my beautiful wife here in the house. I want to say I love you, babe. The definition for prevailing is to prove more powerful than the opposing forces. To be victorious over something. And I believe that this year, just like Pastor Ray last night, he was saying that this year, Great Lakes Region, how many of us know that this year is going to be our year? I don't know how was your 2022 was with you, but I'm here to let you know that God is going to move in a powerful way in your family, in your churches. And I know that you might be here in the middle of a storm. Maybe you came here this morning and you said, man, I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm in the valley. I'm swinging my sword and I'm getting tired. I'm on my way to my promised land. God has given me promises. 2022 was hard. It was a difficult year for you. But I want to let you know that here in our prayer summit, God is going to strengthen you. God is going to give you strength, and you're going to be ready to whatever God has in store for you in 2023. I want to let you know that we will prevail. We will see the promises of God come to pass this year. We will prevail against any opposition. We will prevail against any force that is coming your way. Can somebody say amen? You know, we might be here in our prayer summit because we acknowledge that we cannot prevail in our own strength. But we need the presence of God in our lives. If you're going to prevail against any opposition from the enemy, we have to learn how to prevail through prayer. If we engage in prayer, that if we learn to get on our knees and get a hold of the throne of God, you're going to prevail. Here in our opening scripture, we see the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. Then just like us, they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Israel was brought out of Egypt by the application of the blood. And Israel was in slavery for more than 400 years. They were there in slavery, but finally God brought them out of Egypt and God gave them promises. You know that Israel didn't just walk out of Egypt just with silver and gold, but also God gave them promises. God said, I'm going to take you to a promised land that flows milk and honey. In that promised land, not only there is milk and honey, but there is houses that you didn't build. There is going to be wells that you didn't dug. There is going to be vineyards that you didn't plant. And I'm going to bring you to this place that I have in store for your life. I don't know about you here this morning, but I know that God has been faithful to us. God has given us promises, and God has given you something to hold on to. I know this journey is hard. I know it gets hard sometimes. We're trying to build our churches. We're trying to build our families. We want to see things happen in our lives, and sometimes it gets tired. But I want to let you know that in this journey, sometimes it's going to be a long journey. Sometimes it's going to be hard. But you got to remind yourself that there is some promises that God has given you. And there is a promised land. There is a destination that God has in store for your life. God has something special for your life. Just like the children of Israel, they were living in Egypt. They were carrying promises. They were saying, now I can't wait to get to my promised land. I believe that they were encouraging each other to say, man, do you know that we're going to have houses that we didn't build? We're going to be drinking water from wells that we didn't dug. We're going to be partying, eating grapes and eating fruit, things, vineyards from vineyards that we didn't plant. I believe that they were getting encouraged, and they were walking out of Egypt celebrating. Even the sister of Aaron brought the tambourine, and she said, "We're gonna be moved. Something happened. Something good is gonna happen." They were celebrating in their way to the promised land. Israel began this journey, and God took them through the Red Sea. He took them through the wilderness. They got to a place called Marah. They went through a lamb, and they got through to a place called the wilderness of sin. This journey was a long journey. People began to get hungry, and people began to get thirsty. And they finally got to a place called Rephidim. This place was known for the oasis with sweet water. But when they got to this place, the Bible says that in Rephidim, there was no water to drink. Imagine the children of Israel. They were thirsty. They were tired walking for a long time. They were looking forward to get to this place where finally they were going to quench the thirst. But when they got to this place, there was no water. The Bible says that Israel began to cry out to Moses. They were upset and they wanted to stone Moses. In Exodus 17, 4, 6, the Bible says this, that Moses cried out to the Lord. What should I do with these people? They're ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water in the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. And I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. Then Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as God told them. See, Moses obeyed the Lord. Water gushed out for the people to drink to quench the thirst. The people of Israel, they experienced supernatural miracle that day. Just the same way that God used the rod to part the Red Sea, they experienced a great miracle. I was able to cross in dry land. Finally, they were able to get to this place, and they were able to experience a new miracle. Water came out of a rock. The children of God, they were celebrating the provision of God. They were dancing, talking about, do you remember how God departed the Red Sea? God used a rod again to bring water out of a rock. They were celebrating, rejoicing. And they were packing their stuff, going and again on their journey to their promised land. But something happened. Something happened. The Bible says that after they finished celebrating the miracle and God's provisions, they were getting ready to take the journey back to the promised land. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, verse 18, then while the people of Israel were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Amalek came and attacked Israel when they were on the way to take possession of the promised land. I want to let you know that to take possession of your promised land, to take possession of everything that God has in store for your life, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But I want to let you know that your promise is real. God wants to do something in your family. God wants to do something in your children. God wants to do something in your church. I know it's not going to be easy, just like it was not easy for the children of Israel. There was an Amalek, and their mission was to stop Israel from taking possession and see every promise come to pass. We also have Amaleks in our lives, an enemy that will try to stop us from taking possession of everything that God has in store for your life. It will try to stop us from experiencing breakthroughs in our lives. In our families, they would try to stop us from experiencing a great move of God in our churches. But I want to let you know that it doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do. I'm here to assure you that no matter what this year brings, I want to let you know that God is on your side. That God is ready to fight these battles with you. That God is ready to encourage you. God is ready to pick up your head, to lift up your hands and say, there is a promise for your life. Here we see Israel on their way to the promised land. I bet they were excited. They were full of anticipation. They heard about the promised land. They heard about the milk and honey. They were so excited. But they were not expecting that attack from the Amalek. They were not expecting the attack from the Amalek. They were celebrating. They were getting ready. I believe that every single year, God gives you a promise, and you're able to grab the promise, and you take a step towards the promise to see those things happen in your life, and you're walking, and you're celebrating because God has been faithful. God has given you a promise. All of a sudden, something happens. Sometimes the enemy is like that, just like with Israel. After experiencing a great breakthrough, a great miracle, the enemy came and attacked. That's what sometimes it happens to you and I. You experience a great encounter with God, a great move with God, and all of a sudden the enemy comes. The Amalek came and attacked Israel, trying to stop them from experiencing the promised land. I want to give you three observations about the Amalek's, the Amalek attack against Israel. And how Israel responded to this attack. My first observation is that Amalek came to attack Israel immediately after the miracle of the water. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, while the people of Israel were still and refit them, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. To the children of Israel, they were still celebrating the miracle of the water. They were still celebrating God's provision. And that's how it is sometimes. The attacks of the enemy often comes after a major encounter. The attack of the enemy comes after we experience a major breakthrough in our lives, when you feel like finally things are coming together. When you feel like things are moving in your favor and you're celebrating and you're rejoicing. You see yourself already doing what God showed you in the small picture. You see yourself walking in the promised land. You're able to taste the milk and the honey. You finally, things are coming together. Or you've been walking for a long time. You're carrying promises. You're moving towards your promised land. You're celebrating, rejoicing. Oh, but the enemy likes to attack after you experience a great move of God in your life. We have to remember that it was after Israel experienced that great victory that Jericho, that Israel was able to experience in Jericho. It was a great victory that God gave Joshua. But right after that victory in Jericho, they experienced a great defeat in the city of Ai. It was right after, Elijah, that he was able to defeat all these prophets of Baal. It was after that great victory in his life, that he began to get afraid and he ran away from everything that God called him to do. It was after that great victory, he saw fire. It came down from heaven, and that victory, right after the victory, fear came, and he ran away from everything that God has stored for him. It was right after God said, "This is my son who I love, who I'm well pleased." It was after that happened that Jesus went to the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. Right after that, I want to let you know that sometimes the enemy will come right after you experience a great breakthrough, a great victory, a great encounter in your life. But I want to let you know that you cannot pull your guard down. You got to watch and pray. You got to watch and pray. You got to watch and pray. That if you want to be able to go from level to level, from glory to glory, you cannot just pray for one breakthrough, but you got to continue to watch and pray. You got to continue to prevail through prayer. What's the point of us advancing and taking two steps towards our promised land? And then the enemy calls because you put your guard down. You were not ready, and now you had to take five steps back. That's how it is sometimes. God is giving you promises. You're taking steps to your promised land. But because you don't stay prayed up, because you don't watch and pray. You put your guard down. See, the people of Israel, they were celebrating. They forgot that there was an enemy in the camp. They forgot. I think this year we want to prevail. We want to see victory after victory after victory after victory. We got to be people that not only we able to rejoice, but we got to rejoice with a sword in our hand saying, I refuse to take steps back. I'm going to go from level to level. I'm going to take territory. Because I know that if I want to see victories, I have to be through prayer. God is saying to you and I this year, you cannot put your guard down. You need to watch and pray. When everything seems calm, watch and pray. When everything seems good in your marriage, everything's going smooth, you got to watch and pray. When your business is having success, you got to watch and pray. When your children are experiencing breakthroughs, you got to watch and pray. You cannot put your guard down. The problem with that, sometimes the blessings of God mess us up. God is not ready to bless you, but you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to prevail. You don't know how to win victories in the spirit. You know how to use the sword. You know how to swing the camera. You know how to swing this, and you know how to swing that. You know how to preach, but can you get on your knees? Can you pray? You want to experience success in the spiritual realm? If you want to go from glory to glory, then you got to remain in a place of glory. So God can take you from the place of glory to another place of glory. If you are in a place where not, how are you going to go from glory to glory? Watch and pray. Amalek came to attack immediately after the encounter. Immediately after they experienced a miracle. And Israel was not ready. They had their guard down. I know that if we want to go from glory to glory, from level to level, it's going to be through prayer. It's going to be through prayer. I know about Great Lakes region, but this year is my year. I know it's your year. We want to experience a great move of God in our lives. I want to see the promises that God has promised my life come to pass. I want to experience breakthroughs in my marriage. I want to experience breakthroughs in my children. I want to experience breakthroughs in my ministry. I want to experience breakthroughs, a great move of God in my ministry. But it has to be through prayer. We cannot afford to take three steps towards the promise and allow the enemy to push us back five steps. My second observation about the attack of the Amalek against Israel is that Amalek attacked when Israel was tired, when Israel was exhausted and worried. They attacked when they were tired. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 25:17-18, the Bible says, never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were struggling behind. They had no fear of God. Therefore, where the Lord your God has given you rest for all your enemies in the land, he's given you a special possession. You must destroy the Amalekites and erase the memory from under heaven. Never forget this. Listen, Israel got tired, and the enemy saw the opportunity to attack. Are you tired? How you doing, Pastor? Are you tired? I know it gets tired. It gets tired. You're carrying promises. You've been walking for a long time, praying and believing God, and you've been prophesizing, and you've been preaching that God is going to move in your life. But year after year, you're still carrying promises. It seems like instead of you getting closer to the promise, you're getting farther from the promises that God has given you. Sometimes you get tired. The children of Israel, they were carrying promises. They're walking in the desert. It was tired. They were allowing certain things to get them distracted. They were getting tired and they were weary. It was a long journey to the promised land. They began walking for a long time. They began this journey for a long time. They were been doing this for a long time. They got tired. And I think just like the Israelites, for some of us, it's been, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been praying and believing for God to move in your life and to perform miracles in your life. You've been asking God and praying for a long time for your miracle, for your breakthrough. You've been waiting for the promises of God for a long time. You've been carrying promises, and those promises are getting heavier. And you're growing tired. And you're growing weary. The Bible says in Luke 18, 1 says, the one day Jesus told his disciples a story so to show them that they should always pray and never give up. I'm here to tell you, church, not to give up. I'm here to tell you to pray and to not to give up. Don't grow tired. Don't grow weary. A great example is the brother Caleb. See, Caleb, he exited Egypt with those same promises. And Egypt says, man, I'm ready to go to the promised land. You know that Caleb was ready to enter the promised land? It was not his fault that he didn't go into the promised land. It was other people. But now he needed to wait another generation of people to raise up in order for them to take possession of the promised land. Oh, but when they got there the next time, Caleb said, man, I'm strong as I was 45 years ago. I'm ready. Give me my mountain. See, Caleb never grew tired. Never allowed things to distract them. Never allowed things to mess up his heart. He never allowed things, the water, how come it wasn't no water? And how about there was no food? Those things didn't mess them up. He stayed strong all the way through, even though things were not happening according to the plan. He never grew tired. He never grew weary. I know some of us are tired, weary. Are you still as strong as the day when God gave you the promises that you're carrying? How many of us, like Kayla, say, I'm still strong. I don't know how it is, but I'm still strong. God, give me my mountain. God, give me everything that God, you promised me. The only way to get to the mountain is to be spiritually strong. You know, with some of us, we're spiritual. But something that God was ministering to me is that sometimes we lack in soul care. We're lacking soul care. How do you know when you're tired? Even though sometimes you pray, sometimes you read the word, but you're still the one that keep going no more. You look at the promises that God has given you, and you've been walking for a long time, and you're getting tired. Sometimes you say, man, I don't want to do this again. Your spiritual can be up to par, but your soul don't want to do it no more. Your spiritual life can be up to par, but your soul is the problem. Your soul is the problem. The soul is important. The Bible says in John that you're not going to prosper unless your soul prospers. What do you think David spoke so much about the soul? He says, Lord, restore my soul. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why? Lift up your head, O soul of mine. The sun cannot shine light on the face if you don't lift up your head. Listen, we're called to be the light of this world. We're supposed to be the barriers of light in this world. Jesus, the sun, in the same way the moon, don't have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. But what happened when the moon stopped shining? The moon has been eclipsed. And you know what it's been to be eclipsed by the world. Sometimes in the journey to the promised land, you got excited when God gave you those promises. There were some things, there was something happened inside of you, full of joy, full of strength. You couldn't wait to get to your promised land. But something happened in your journey that you allow certain things to affect your soul. And now your soul got between you and God. You have been eclipsed by your soul. You cannot see the promises of God no more. You cannot see clearly what direction God wants to take you. You got tired. You prayed and you read the word, but you don't have no more vision like before. You allow your soul to eclipse your vision. Your soul. Sometimes in this journey, you're going to experience different things. The children of Israel, they allowed the problems that they were facing. There was no food, and they were complaining, "Where God, Moses, why you brought us out to the desert to die?" They allowed that thing to affect their heart. There was a promise, but now they couldn't enter the promised land because their soul eclipsed the vision, the direction to the promised land. Eclipse. I remember 2 years ago, I got tired, man. You might say to me, like, "Man, Felipe, you've been saved for 12 years, bro. Come on, you tired? I've been doing this for 50 years. Maybe you have, man, but I got tired. I remember telling my wife, "Hey, I'm tired, man. I'm tired doing this. I'm tired." I remember graduating people, and here it is again, again. Day one again. We had to work with new people for another year. I don't want to do this no more, God. I got tired. I remember 2 years ago, something happened to me. You know, I know some of you guys were praying. I almost died. I was in the hospital. And I remember God gave me his word. God gave me scripture, Genesis 22:2. I'm like, "Man, what the scripture has to do with what I'm going through?" The scripture says, "Take your son, your only son who you love, Isaac, and go from this place, sacrifice him. There in a burning offering, a mountain, I will show you." He said, "Take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him." I'm like, "God, what do you mean by that? Your only son, Isaac. He's like, no. Your only son. I'm like, your only son, Isaac. I begin to look into the scriptures. You know that Abraham had two sons. One is Ishmael, and it was the works of the flesh. And the other one's Isaac, is the one who was one to inherit the promises. No, I said, Isaac. I know that Abraham knew his only son was Isaac, but your son is Ishmael. Because you've been moving and operating, doing ministry in the flesh. You've been doing the works that I call you to do in the flesh, and you're never going to prosper. You're never going to be able to see every promise that I promised you, but you're going to get stuck in a place. So I had to put a stop. I had to do something. I had to allow something to happen to stop you from keep moving and keep going the way that you're operating. Something had to shift in my life. I almost lost my life, but something happened. Something happened inside of my mind. Something happened inside of my heart. Hey, Ishmael died, but Isaac, I rose. Oh, now I knew that God was going to give me everything that he has promised me. Now Isaac was going to be the one that was going to inherit the nations. Ishmael needed to die. Sometimes we get tired. You know, when we get tired, you operate in the flesh. You operate, you do the works of the flesh. What do you think they call the fruit of the spirit and the works of the flesh? Why they call it works? Works get you tired. Why do you think you're tired? Because the works. You're tired. You don't want to do this no more. You got to go see a new building. I don't want to do this no more, man. I've been through this for a long time. Why, God? Why again? I've already been through this for a long, God. I've been praying for my children, God. Finally, they got saved, but now look again. Why I gotta go through this again? And when you see those things as work, you will get tired. You will get tired. The children of Israel, they got tired. And the Bible says that they came and they attacked them. He said, you've been in a place doing this thing in your own strength. God said, I don't acknowledge the works of the flesh. I don't acknowledge those things. So there's something that has to happen in your life. A shift has to happen. I allow certain things, man, to mess me up. I allow people to mess me up. I allow people, when they were talking about my family, that messed me up. I allow false accusations, that messed me up. I allow certain things to mess me up and then eclipse what God called me to do, and I was operating in the flesh. You know how you care yourself, care for yourself? Is it when you put your worries on the hand of God? When everything, people come against you, but you're able to come to God and say, God, I bring it to you. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to allow this to affect my soul. I want to prosper. I want my soul to be good. I want my soul to be strength. God, I want to operate in the Spirit. In order to do that, you need to know how to pray. When people come against you, that you don't let it affect your heart. But you're able to come into the throne of God and say, God, I don't know what they're talking about, but whatever it is, God, if there is something that needs to change, please change me. But also, God, help me not to carry this burden inside of me. I want to serve you. I want to move towards my promise. I don't want to be forfeited. I don't want to be left behind. Sometimes we get tired because we allow things to affect our hearts. Prayer. Oh, when you come into the feet of God, and you know how you're able to prevail against tiredness and weariness is when you get on your knees and you bring all the problems to God. It might be financial problems, but I bring them to God. God, you are my provider. I'm not going to worry about those things. You have it in your hand. I'm your son, and I'm a person with promises, and I'm carrying promises, and you're not a liar, God. You're going to help me get to wherever, God, you have in store for my life. But sometimes we carry the pressure. We allow the pressure to mess us up. And the last thing, my third observation, is there's an attack of Amalek against Israel. The Amalek attacked from behind. Attack from behind. Often the enemy will look for believers that are in isolation. Amalek didn't attack the people that were in community. Amalek didn't attack people that were together in fellowship. But Amalek attacked people that were behind. You know, this year, church, we got to get involved in something. We got to get involved in city life groups. We got to get involved in prayer. We got to get involved in things in the church, because an insulation Christian is a disaster ready to happen. Amalek came from behind and took advantage of those that were isolated, those who were alone. But you cannot leave no one behind. Amalek tried to take out those that were lagging behind. Amalek came to attack, and I want to let you know that we're not immune to the enemy attacks. But God didn't intend it for us to be victims of the enemy. God wants us to be victorious. But we're stronger together. We're stronger together. You cannot be one of those people, the Lone Rangers in the kingdom of God. You cannot be one of those guys and think, I can do this by my own. You can't. You need to be part of the body of Christ. You need to be part of everything that is happening in our region. You need to be part of everything that is happening within your church. You know why? Because this in those settings, Moses had Aaron and Hur to help him lift up his hands. Moses was not alone because his hands were getting tired. Sometimes when you're alone, your hands are going to get tired. But when you're part of the community, even when your hands getting down, somebody's going to come and it's going to lift up your hands. It's going to tell you, man, you keep praying. You keep fighting. I got you. You get in the big, go in the battlefield, go in the valley, and I'm here in the mountain. I'm going to be praying for you. Do you have some errands and hurts praying for you when you aren't? We need some errands and hurts. But when you're alone, you can't get those. I want to let you know, Pastor Will, that I'm your errand. I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm going to see the promises that you, when you're fighting in the valley for your city, that I want to let you know that there is a city church in Chicago that we're lifting up your hands and we want to pray for you. I want to let you know, Pastor Kenny, that there is some errands and hers praying for your city. Pastor, we need people. That when you feel like getting tired, sometimes you're not going to be in the mountain town. Sometimes you're going to be in the valley. But sometimes it's good to look up and knowing that there is Moses, there is Aaron, there is Hor. They're praying for you. You just got to continue to swing the sword. But when you don't have those people, you're in the fight alone. I need some of those people in my life. This year I said, God, I don't need just one errand. I need more errands in my life. I need people that when I'm there in the valley, when I'm fighting for my children, for my marriage, for my church, I need people that are praying for me. That even though they might not be there in the mix, I don't need them to be swinging swords. I need them to intercede for me. Let's all stand here as the worship make their way. See, I want to let you know that some victories, it doesn't matter how skillful you are in battle. It doesn't matter how talented you are. You will try to experience victories. You will try to prevail against the enemy. But instead of winning, you're going to get tired. You're going to grow weary. And you're going to want to give up. Oh, but when you engage in battle through prayer, you will prevail. Moses realized that whatever he lifted up his hands, Israel was winning. And whenever he put his hands down, Israel was losing. And Amalek started to win. He realized that whatever was happening in the valley, on the battlefield, it depended on what he was doing in the mountain. This year, the spiritual will control the physical church. If we defeat the enemy on the mountaintop, you will take the spoils in the valley. If you're able to win the victories in the mountaintop, you're going to see the promises that you're carrying come to pass. But it's going to start in the mountain. Some of us, we got to climb the mountain. You've been spending too long on the battlefield swinging the sword. Your sword is dull. You need to climb the mountain. Put Aaron and Hur. That whatever is happening in your prayer closet, as will determine what will take place in your workplace, in your marriage, in your family, in your church. The secret place will control the public. Joshua and the men were fighting, and Moses was lifting out his hands. He was lifting up the rod. You know, the Moses, the rod, every single time he would grab the rod, and the Bible says that God would tell him to stretch it to that thing, to the rock, to the sea. But this time, the Bible says this, that Moses grabbed the rod and he lifted up. He lifted up. He realized that his confidence was in God. He realized that the victory, the battle was the Lord's. He knew that this time the miracle was not going to come by the rod, but it was going to be by God. And he realized that Joshua was watching him. Joshua was watching him. That one day Joshua was going to be his successor. And Joshua needed to learn this. See, Joshua was a spiritual. He was the general. Is skillful with a sword. Many times he killed and won victories with the sword. I know that the third wave generation, we're good with the sword. We know how to win victories with the sword. But there is the first, second generation, the model to us, prayer. The model to us that, hey, that they were able to accomplish more on their knees than with any sword. You know what happened later on? You're able to see that Joshua caught it in the time of Jericho. In Jericho, the Bible says that Joshua, God was going to give him a plan for Jericho. Can you imagine Joshua finally said, my first victory is going to be today. Oh, I'm going to take Jericho. I bet you he was telling his people, hey, sharpen your sword because we're going to come in and we're going to take Jericho for God. You know what happened? God gave him a different plan. God said, man, I just want you to bring the priest. I want you to bring the prayer warriors. I want you to bring the Ark of the Covenant and put it in front of the army. He said, I want you to march. Joshua, I believe that he didn't even know how to share the plan with the army. Because those people, they were not just people that marched. They were people that were good with a sword. They're walking out. Said, okay, guys. Hey, priest, come on, come on, come back. Come on, fast, fast, fast. Bring the Ark of the Covenant. All right, guys, line up and grab your sword. Don't pull it out, but just put your hands on the sword. The first strategy said, I want you guys to march one time. The soldiers, they're tripping out, I believe. Come on, I'm going to trip a little bit. Looking, okay. Well, Joshua, he's a general. He knows what he's doing. Probably he's looking for an opening in this wall. Second time, he said, all right, guys, we're going to march again. I'm like, okay. Cool, we didn't find nothing. We're going to try it again. Third time, it says, don't. We're going to march again. And the people in the front, I want you to shout. And then again, and the only thing that they were doing, it was watching the priest in front of them in the Ark of the Covenant, their hands on the sword. By the fourth time, I believe that the soldiers, they begin to realize that this time, the sword wasn't going to be needed. They begin to talk to each other like, what's up with the priest? What is in the Ark of the Covenant? What's so special about the Ark of the Covenant? And they begin to testify to each other. Listen, when we were in the wilderness, when we didn't have no food, God provided manna from heaven. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, there is a manna, God's provision. But what else so special? It's in the Ark of the Covenant with Moses. We needed direction by God. He went to the mountain, to the top, and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and they're there in the Ark of the Covenant. All of a sudden, they begin to take their hands from the sword, and they say, what else? Oh, the rod of Moses, the rod, the one with the people, the things brought out of the rod, the selected leader, is there in the Ark of the Covenant. That day, Joshua and the soldiers realized that some victories are not going to be won by the sword. That sometimes you just got to put God in the middle. You got to put God in front of you. You got to be on your knees and you got to say, God, I trust you. I know that I'm skillful with a sword. But today, the victory is going to come by your presence of God. That's what some of us, we need to be for the presence of God. This year, we need to prevail through prayer. It's not going to be with your sword. I know you're a specialist, Irwin. I know you're gifted. But I believe that there's some first and second generation of a ministry can testify to say, there is some victories that doesn't matter how skillful you are. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to do this and that. But one thing I know, I knew how to get a hold of God. We need in this year people that are going to know how to get a hold of God. It was another victory later on. What is the victory? Amorai, something like that. They were fighting, and the soldiers, they were fighting in the field, and it was getting late. It was getting late. They said, no, we need more light. We need light. We need light because we win in the battle. We need light. And you know what Joshua did? He said, God, this guy knew. He remembered what Moses did. Remember that some victories are won in prayer. He began to pray and say, God, can you stop the sun and the moon? That day, God is stopped and hear his prayer. And because we able to pray, God gave him a great victory. God has stopped the sun and God has stopped the moon. And because it was because of prayer, he was able to prevail and experience a great victory. We're in time in a ministry when prayer has to be the forefront of our ministry. We got to go back. We got to bring God back to the center of everything that we do. We have promises. We have promises. I don't want to be some of those children that the promises they died in the desert. I want to be one of those that can experience everything that God has for our lives. I know you're getting tired. I know you get weary sometimes. Hope of God is faithful. And today I want to do something special. Listen, today, I know you're looking at your sword. I know your hand is like tied to the sword because you've been battling and fighting and making things happen with your sword. But this morning, I want you to leave your sword, put it back in your chair, put it down. And I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to come and get a hold of God. Put your sword back, put it back. And I want you to come. I want you to come. Because some victories are going to be won through prayer. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.